Well, Massachusetts gets a new governor as the ongoing speaker fight drags into another day. And joining us right now with his perspective is WATD political analyst John Creed. Mr. Creed, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dan. And the new governor, in her inauguration speech, gave the courtesies right off the bat to former Baker governor, as well as she recognized the many former governors that were at the event. And it's interesting to note that she's only the second Democrat to be governor in this state in 32 years.
And what did you think of her speech overall?
Well, it was a typical progressive speech. She promised a lot of things. It'll be interesting how they'll be received by the legislature, even though the legislature is heavily Democratic. But it'll be interesting when she's looking at state land in the various towns and cities to see what state land can be used for affordable housing. The other thing is she's going to establish a fund for the climate. She's going to take 1% of the state's budget and give it for climate programs. That's a lot of money, and I would think some people would want to know what's going to get cut.
Now, another thing she talked about when we focus on housing is she's actually said she's going to create a new cabinet position to deal with housing specifically.
And that brings up, not only are you going to bring in a new cabinet position, but you're going to have to bring in people to be, you know, secretaries, receptionists. It's another add to the budget. And she has talked with some of the Republicans about doing, a break on taxes. So I don't know how you promise all this agenda, and do you have the money to back it up?
And another program she did announce was her community college program.
Anybody over 25 years of age who doesn't have a college degree would have an opportunity in community colleges for training to pick up some of the technical jobs that are open throughout the state. And she also said a lot of people are leaving because it costs so much money to live in this state. So I think it's something that the legislature will have to be in cooperation. But there's only 22 Republicans in the House and 3 Republicans in the Senate. So it's a Democratic operation, but I don't know if it's all liberal Democrats.
So it sounds like you seem to think she's going to have some trouble ahead in her new administration.
Well, I think former Speaker has said, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they'll work together. I mean, I think it's possible, but the bottom line is the taxpayers are going to have to pay for it. And she's going to add 1,000 people to the MBTA. And she talked about infrastructure and an opportunity to work with the federal administration, but they just turned down one of the recommendations was to build a new Sagamore and a new Bourne Bridge. So the Democratic administration turned that down on Wednesday.
Now we're going to go from Beacon Hill now to Capitol Hill, where a fight is still going on, and as of right now, we still do not have a Speaker of the House.
We don't have a Speaker of the House. I don't know just how we'll play that out. Obviously, they're well over 11 or 12 ballots now, and however, they're far from the ultimate, which is in the 1800s, when they're basically 133 ballots then. And I don't know how this is going to end, but in my opinion, it hurts the Republicans badly. Even if McCarthy wins, it weakens him, and I believe it hurts former President Trump. By the way, somebody voted for Trump yesterday. But and by the way, you don't have to be a member of the House to be the Speaker.
Now, there have been, of course, he's been making some deals. Do you think there's any concession that could break the deadlock on the Republican side?
Well, the question is, how much can you give up and still be effective yourself? I mean, the big thing is, in the November election, the Republicans talked about, you know, carrying the House of Representatives. But they were talking by, you know, winning the House by 30-30 votes, so that didn't happen. And I believe Trump was the reason for that. So I don't know. I don't know how much McCarthy can give up and still be effective in his own right.
Now, I wanted to get your perspective on this because we've been hearing rumors that there might be discussions of maybe some Democrats, you know, tossing some support to McCarthy to get him over that hill there, or on the other side, some Republicans who are more moderate might decide this is enough break and vote for Hakeem Jeffries to make him speaker for a while. What about either one of those scenarios?
I don't think those are very likely, either one, because when you vote for a person in another party, it hurts you with your own Democrat or Republican base. I think that would be a real long shot for that to happen, because I don't see any Democrats voting for a Republican, and I certainly don't think the 5 or 10 holdouts on the Republican side voting for a Democrat.
Now, if it's not Kevin McCarthy, do you see anybody else who could possibly step in and be Speaker?
Well, there are people like the congressman from Louisiana, but they're very strong McCarthy. I think the people, I mean, when you talk about Donald from an African-American Republican from Florida being nominated, and he's only a one-term congressman to be speaker, so I think there are names out there, but as long as McCarthy holds, I think they'll hold with him.
And we'll just see how long this drags out, because this doesn't appear to be an end in sight, at least right now.
It looks like it might go into the weekend, but they can come back. But it's how effective this whole thing's going to be, and that's something we'll have to keep our eye on. And my guess, you and I will be talking next week.
It seems very likely. Well, until next week, I guess, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate it.
And I don't think I've said to our listeners, I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you as well. That was WATD political analyst John Creed.